Well, welcome to our first Sunday morning service together on Sunday the 22nd of March 2020. Our first Sunday in this way. We're in extraordinary circumstances, unprecedented times, and none of us had expected that we would be in this position. But God has seen fit that we should be isolated in our homes and we should be together hearing God's word, praying in our own homes and encouraging one another. My hope is that during this time, in fact, fellowship will be increased rather than decreased as we really look out for one another. Now it is Mother's Day, and so I want to wish all the mothers a very, very happy Mother's Day. Some of you may be distanced from your mothers, but just like we are one in spirit today, though physically far apart, I'm sure you can remember your own mothers in that way. In a minute, we're going to pray. Then we're going to have a reading from the Bible. Then a message from God's word. An email has been sent out to you with hymns that we will sing afterwards and points for prayer. So let's use this time wisely. It's the Lord's Day. It's a day for our encouragement, for our blessing, for our rest. It's a day when God speaks to us. And the message this morning is going to be very different. It's going to be about coronavirus. What does the Bible have to say about this? What is God saying to us through the coronavirus? I'm going to preach not in the normal fashion. The normal fashion is going through Luke's gospel and going verse by verse expositionally. But this time I want to preach looking at a number of passages that I feel are relevant to us. So pray in your heart that God will bless us. Let's seek his face in prayer. Eternal God in heaven, as we come into your presence, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, we thank you for the wonderful truth that one day every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow before him. We recognize, Lord, that you are sovereign and that you are God. We thank you that we can say this morning that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Lord, though we may be at times of confusion and times of fear and times of uncertainty, we thank you, O God in heaven, that we have this huge, massive certainty that our God reigns. We thank you that he is our rock. We thank you that we can also say this morning, though all may change, Jesus never, glory to his name. Thank you that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And eternal God, as we come before you this morning, we come to give you thanks, we come to give you praise that our lives are hid together in Christ. Oh, Father, we thank you that in him we are one, and we thank you that, Lord, we are safe under the everlasting wings of God. Lord, we come before you this morning thanking you that you are our refuge, and you are our strength. And we pray for one another at this time. We pray for those who are on the front line. Remember Susie up in Bangor. Lord, we pray that you protect her from this virus. Pray that she looks after the intensive care unit for coronavirus sufferers, that you would help her and give her guidance and wisdom, Lord. And we pray also as she counsels her fellow colleagues, Lord, those who are doctors and nurses, and has offered to give them prayer as part of that counselling, that you would indeed bless that. We remember others. We think of Carolyn in the Heath Hospital as a nurse. Lord, be with her. We think of Ange in the way in which she works in the NHS, seeking to help so many of those people isolated in different situations in their homes and in care homes. Be with Ange, we pray, as she goes from place to place. We think, Lord, of Hannah and Sonal, long-time workers in the medical service. Father, be with them and bless them. And Father, for Mark Gilmore also, there down in Bridgend, we ask, Father, for our brother in Christ, that you'd be with him and his family at this time. Lord God in heaven, we thank you that you hear the cries of your people. And Father, we just pray for one another. We pray for those who are frail, those who are struggling, maybe worried about getting prescriptions, worried, Lord, about their own health concerns. Oh, Father, we just pray that you would be near to them at this time. And Lord God in heaven, we do pray for the government. We pray that you continue to give it wisdom and help. We pray, Lord, for the emergency services. We pray for ambulance men and for policemen. And we pray, Father, that you would just, Lord, undertake for them. And Lord, for your churches, Lord, here in Wales and Lord, throughout Great Britain, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would do a new thing amongst us. As the rhythm of life has changed, as our patterns have changed day by day, we pray that we would give ourselves to prayer, give ourselves to seeking God, give ourselves, Lord, to supporting one another, and give ourselves to reaching out as we can to our neighbours around us. We ask, Father, for you to forgive us if we've been negligent. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And may you even use that Easter card that is going from door to door to speak to the lives of many people. So, Father, be with us in this time of worship. Draw near to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to read to you now from Psalm 46. This isn't the passage that I'm going to be considering as a whole, but it's an apt passage for us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the depths of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river which makes glad the city of God, whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, just as at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. May that be your confidence this day. We will not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. God is a very present help, our rock and our refuge. Now, as we come to this subject, coronavirus, what is God saying to us at this time? We need to reflect upon the extent of it. It's quite remarkable, really. This is Friday, and we've been told already that 182 out of 198 nations in the earth have been infected by the coronavirus. That means over 90% of the world's countries. God is sovereign. God is Lord. He has ordained this. It is his will. What is God saying to us? Millions of people are fearful. China has gone through a very difficult time, locking down so many of its cities. Now the same is true in Italy, starting to happen in other places in the world. California, with 40 million people now in lockdown. What is God saying? The economy, the world economy, has been turned upside down, and the hearts of men are failing them for fear. Well, I want to take you, first of all, to two passages in the Old Testament. The first one is from 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 37 to 40, and then the second one is 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now, these are Old Testament passages given to Old Testament people under a different covenant to ourselves. This is given to Israel. It's not given to us. But as we'll see, there are principles that apply to us. And we're going to pick up these applications by looking at the book of James afterwards. But first of all, 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 37 to 40. Solomon, he's praying. The temple has been dedicated. He's remembering Mount Sinai, where God made promises to his people. If they obeyed him, if they kept his word, if they obeyed his statutes, his commandments, all of his laws, all of his regulations, if they obeyed what God had said to them, God had promised to Old Testament Israel that he would pour out blessings upon their land. They would have increased sheepfolds, increased cattle. They would know a land flowing with milk and honey that prospered in all sorts of physical ways. They'd know grapes on the vine. And God would not withhold the rain from them. Quite the contrary, God would bless them. They would be freed from many sicknesses, and God would be with his people. But the covenant was this: if they broke God's commands, if they did not keep their side of the covenant, if they disobeyed his statutes and his laws, then God said to them that in time he would send war. They wouldn't know times of peace and prosperity. He would send sickness. He would send plague. And he would judge them until they repented again. And so Solomon is remembering the covenant that was made at Sinai with these promises of blessing and these warnings of curse. Blessings for obedience and curse for disobedience. And in his prayer, he calls upon God that if God's people find themselves in a state of disobedience, where the curses have now fallen upon them, if they come back to him and pray in his temple, then would not God forgive them? He would. And would not God bless them, that they would fear his name again? And he would. And so he comes in prayer reminding God of his covenant promises and bringing them to him. And this is what he says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 37. When there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all the people of Israel, when each one knows the plague of his own heart and spreads out his hands towards heaven, towards this temple, then hear in heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive, and act, and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose hearts you know. For you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to their fathers. You see what Solomon's doing there? He's saying, Lord, if we find ourselves under your judgment, but if we turn back and you alone know our hearts, and if you see that we're coming with sincerity to you, and we confess and we seek your face, we turn to this temple and seek your face in heaven, Lord, then forgive, act, restore, that we might fear your name. And then in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we have some similar verses. And these verses are very well known, but I want to remind you of them. The Lord says this: when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence amongst my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What a glorious promise. God has said no matter what state his people find themselves in, if they come to him in true repentance of sin, seeking his face, humbling themselves, for our greatest need is to be humble in the presence of God. Our greatest problem is our own pride. But if we come in that way, humbling ourselves under his mighty hand, then for them, it meant that he would take away the curses that were upon their land, and he would heal them as a nation. What about us? Well, I want to turn you to the book of James, because James, I believe, picks up on some of the principles. We're not promised that if we pray and seek God's face, then God will take away coronavirus from us. We're not promised that. But we are promised that if we humble ourselves as God's people under the mighty hand of God, then he will come, he will lift us up, he will exalt us, he will draw near to us. If we confess our sins to one another, there will be healing, healing of relationships and blessing. And so I want to bring these verses to you. James chapter 4 verses 7 to 10 and then James chapter 5 verses 16 to 18. So first of all, James chapter 4 verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, James was writing at a time where there was much exploitation going on. The rich were exploiting the poor. He was writing to a people who'd let their tongues run away with themselves. There was an awful lot of gossip. And so James, in his little letter, addresses the sins of God's people. He addresses the sin of the tongue. He addresses the sin of materialism. He addresses the sin of partiality, of favouritism. He tells them that their religion must be true. True religion is to visit the orphan and the widow in their distress and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. James speaks about a faith which must produce works, for faith without works is dead. And so it's a clarion call to repentance amongst God's people. And the wonderful truth is this: if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will lift us up. I wonder if we're double-minded in any way. Do we say we love God? Do we say we love his word? Do we say we walk in obedience with him? And yet, practice known sin, are unrepentant of our ways. Now the second passage I'd like to bring to you is from James chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. This is a remarkable passage. The Apostle James says this: confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. This is glorious. Here's Elijah, a man just like us, with a nature just like us, with the same propensities to sin, the same frailties that you and I experience. Yet he was a righteous man. He trusted in God and followed him. And he was fervent in prayer. And God, in his mercy and in his goodness, listened to these fervent prayers of a righteous man. God shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. And then in answer to Elijah's prayers, God opened the heavens again and it rained. And the context is this: church relationships. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. You know, if there are grievances, if there are upsets, if there are things that are hindering your relationship with God and your fellowship with your fellow believer, the Lord has said, put it right. Don't wait. And then seek God in prayer and believe that he can do mighty things. You see, coronavirus is putting us into our homes. And when we're in our homes, the pattern of life changes, the rhythm of life changes. And that means we've got time to reflect. And that means we don't just go on in the normal routine of life, just going from the same activity to another activity without thinking. We're called to stop and to take stock. This is a time where, if needed, we can know that real spiritual healing amongst us. So I must do that, and you must do that. We must all examine ourselves, take stock of where we are, but then cast ourselves upon the Lord, who's promised to do mighty things. So we've looked at two Old Testament passages, and we've looked at these two little passages in James. And the principle that follows through is this. God's people, when you're in a fix, God's people, when you're going through trying times, God's people, when you're seeing the hand of the Lord is heavy upon you and upon the church, well, come back to him in prayer. Seek his face. Humble yourself, and he will lift you up. But then what is God saying to the world at this time? He's certainly speaking to the church. But it's a wake-up call to the world, isn't it? You see, as human beings, we prop our lives up on different things. Many people in the world prop themselves up on their own finances. And what's happened? Well, this coronavirus, this small microscopic organism, is causing economic chaos. The pound fell to its lowest point since 1985. The stock markets have plummeted throughout the world. No longer do we have financial security. And we realise for some it's very hard. Some are facing the uncertainty of not having a job. We're learning that we cannot rely upon money. Then that other God, there's the God of materialism, of wealth, of health, but of wealth, but then there's that other God of health. God is also dealing with this. Do we trust in our ability to diet and exercise and look after ourselves, the NHS and doctors and medicines to keep us well and healthy, assuming that we'll just carry on in life till old age? Well, health is not guaranteed. And this pandemic is a clear warning to the world. It's saying, trust in me. Put away your idols of health and wealth and prosperity. Turn to God, the only constant. Then there's leisure and pleasure, isn't there? So many people live for the pleasures of this world. No longer can we go to the cinema. No longer can we go to the theatre. Football matches we cannot watch, not even on Match of the Day. They're all cancelled. All sorts of events. Euro 2020 is off, and so we could go on. Where will we find our pleasure and our happiness? Will we find it in God alone? Great fear has taken hold of many people. My wife was outside Aldi's just the other day, and one lady was speaking to the other lady and saying how she felt that she needed to see a counsellor. And after this thing was over, her mental health, she said, had suffered so much that she would see a counsellor. There are many who are tremendously fearful. And so this is an opportunity for us as God's people, when all the props are being taken away, the props of wealth and health and prosperity, and it's been replaced by fear, is our opportunity to point men and women to God. Now, I want to give you some encouragement this morning. There are some servants of God who have been given great opportunities. I mentioned to some of you about an Italian pastor and how he was preaching from his block of flats and how many people in the balconies around had come out onto those balconies to listen to God's word. Isn't that extraordinary? How many people normally in Italy would go to an evangelical church, and yet due to this crisis, here they are listening to a pastor preaching God's word from his balcony. Then there's a man called Jeremy Marshall. His parents was a pastor and wife, and his dad was the pastor of Howard and Cath. Now, he's been a city banker for many years, and he's supported many mission organisations very liberally. But in recent years, he's suffered with cancer and is terminal. This man is trusting God through all his fears and all his struggles. He's seeking to reach out to fellow city bankers. And so a number of meetings have been organised, not only city bankers, but also lawyers. And he was wanting to bring God's word to them and tell them about Christ and introduce the book that he's written. Now, he assumed because of coronavirus that all these meetings would be cancelled. But remarkably, they're still on via the internet. And these lawyers and city bankers, in the state that they find themselves in, are wanting now to listen to this Christian man who was once amongst them and now wants to bring the word of God to them. So this is a time of opportunity. The props have been taken away that have propped up people's lives, and so we can speak into it by God's grace. We can pray. We can pray for the cities and the kingdoms of this world. Do you remember Abraham? He was deeply burdened for Sodom and Gomorrah. He prayed, "Lord, if there's 50 in that city, spare it. Spare it, Lord. Lord, if there's just 10 righteous, spare the city, Lord. For the sake of the 10 righteous, spare the city." And we can pray in that way. "Lord, your judgments are falling. But Lord, have mercy." So through personal testimony, through witness, and through prayer, we can look to God to do extraordinary things. Now, some of you are probably asking the question, what is the Lord saying in terms of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, if you're a Bible scholar, you understand that the last days mean the days from the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ up until his return. But at the same time, whilst this is true, we know the Bible speaks about the last days of the last days, certain signs that will take place before the gospel is preached to every creature, and then the Lord will return. So I want to take you to Matthew 24, verses 6 to 8. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says this, "And you will hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." So, my beloved friends, we are called to read the signs of the times. We're called to consider what is happening, and we're to look up. Listen to the words of Luke in Luke chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Jesus says this to his disciples, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." When these things begin to happen, lift up your heads, for the time of Christ's return is imminent. Yes, no man knows the day or the hour. And he will come as a thief in the night, and as lightning flashes across the sky from east to west, so he will come. We as God's people are called to be ready. We as God's people are called to work while it is still day, We're called to be like those five wise virgins with our lamps burning, reading the signs of the times, expectantly waiting for the coming of our Saviour. Oh, that that might be true for you and for me. Not easy in the normal routine of life, the new routine of life. But let's consider Christ and think much of him and his return. Now, isn't it quite remarkable that God has used this microscopic organism to shake the world? He's used this invisible, tiny bacteria to shake up the financial systems of this world, to shake up the hearts of men and women. But as Christians, we remember that we are receiving an unshakable kingdom. All around may give way. Around us are the shifting sands of life. But our feet are firm upon the rock. God is a refuge for us, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Remember that prayer of Solomon that I cited at the beginning in 1 Kings chapter 8. Remember how Solomon's desire was this, is that the men would come to fear the name of the Lord. God is sending coronavirus, surely, that we would fear him as his people, repenting of sin, calling upon him, and having our assurance strengthened in Christ, knowing that we're in the rock. He's surely sending this coronavirus upon the nations also to shake them up, that men might seek his face. May in these days we be bold, but may we be loving and attractive. May the holiness of our lives attract others to Christ. May we truly be good neighbours to those around us. Billy Graham once asked the question, what is God doing in the world? And this is how he responded. Don't you think that God has abdicated the throne? Don't you think that? No, he hasn't. He's still on the throne. And those of us who have put our trust in him have put our trust in him alone. I don't put my trust in Washington, he said. I don't put my trust in the United Nations. I don't put my trust in myself, nor in my money. I put my trust in Jesus Christ. When everything else fails and shatters, he's there. Can you say that also? God is shaking the nations. May it be that you have an unshakable faith. Remind yourself of this. The truth that the Dutch Prime Minister Abraham Kuyper once said, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence of which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Not one microbe of this organism shall enter your body except at the permission of God. God is in control of the coronavirus. He is sovereign over all. We trust in him. Isaiah says this, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will help you with my righteous hand. Yes, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Yes, we must seek God in repentance and prayer. But let us have this unshakable confidence that God will never leave us. He will never forsake his own. He is with us at this time. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Brothers and sisters, shall we pray? Eternal God in heaven, we bless you and praise you that you are upon the throne of this universe. We thank you that everything works together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. We thank you, Lord, that in this time of weakness and for many worry, we thank you that we can trust in you. And Father, we pray that our faith might be strengthened at this time. We pray that grace and peace might be multiplied to your people. We pray that this might be a time of renewing and a time of refreshing. Oh, Father, come to us, we pray, and bless us. Lord, we pray that you will cleanse us from our sins. If there have been relationships that have not been right, Lord, whether within the family, whether within the fellowship, Lord, whether with work colleagues, that these things would be put right. And Lord, that we would know a real turning in our hearts to you. Help us to not only open up our hearts to you, but open up our hearts to one another. Help us to trust you and to trust one another. Lord, be with us, we pray. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to God's word and tuning in. Let's sing together now. I'm afraid I don't think we'll be able to sing this together unless Sonal tweaks it somehow, but pray that you'll be able to sing these two hymns in your home. A lovely hymn of comfort by Isaac Watts. I've never seen it before, but found it, and you can see the words and sing along with them. Be still my heart, all anxious care. So just click on the link that's given you on the internet, and then he will hold me fast. You can sing that one, and then please do pray over some of the items that were listed in the email to you. May God be with you, and trust that 6 o'clock this evening we'll just share a little bit together. We'll be listening into a message from God's word, and we'll pray that God will be with us. This is the Lord's day. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad in it.